Well, hello, everyone. We hope that you're having a great Wednesday, and it's time to answer more of your listener questions, including a great response about that naughty middle school kid who couldn't keep his comments to himself in the picture over at Expedition Everest. Find out how all that stuff works on today's show. But first, a word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now I'm opening up my iPhone 7 Plus, and I can see that we're down to 52 days to go until we check into Disney's French Quarter Resort over at Port Orleans pre-cruise to have some great fun. We've got our fast passes scheduled for Pandora and all over the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and the studios as well. And every time I get a call, send a text, or post to social media, I see how many days I have to go, and I get excited for this awesome July vacation. You can do the same. Just download Days to Go WDW over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1169 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Thanks so much for checking in. Today's show, of course, your listener questions and comments. We're talking about all things Disney on today's podcast, and hopefully you will enjoy the show. So joining me today to answer your listener questions, we have Ricky from at DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. And Ricky, thanks for your Southern hospitality for my St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend. We appreciate those three big wins.
Yeah, no problem. You guys deserve them. I'm glad that you could win some games courtesy of the Braves.
Well, you're still a Cardinals fan, right down in the South. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100% still a Cardinals fan. Yeah.
Good deal. All right. Good deal. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. How's it going this fine Wednesday, Pam?
It is going fantastically. And I just wanted, I actually wrote this down, put a note in my phone to remind me to bring this up when we were chatting on the podcast about the Pixar concert series that's going to be happening this summer in Disney's Hollywood Studios. I know we chatted about this a little bit, but Steve and I had the opportunity to attend a concert of, you know, a performer that we really enjoy last week. And he performed with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra.
Was it Barry Manilow?
It was not. No,
dang.
Sorry.
Okay, I was just trying to guess. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, it was not. But anyways, we had for many years a great world famous conductor, and the symphony itself is still very famous, and we are just, you know, so blessed to have great performers come into town because they want to perform with them. But as we were sitting there watching it, first of all, it was a great concert. We and Steve and I just had a great time. But one of the things, again, that struck me was the that it's performances like that are so limited. Like, there are very little opportunities for many folks to see a performance like that, and be it whether they just don't have the opportunity because culturally their city doesn't offer that, or they just don't have the time. I mean, it's not always the easiest to make time to do that, or it's cost prohibitive, or whatever the issue is. And it is awesomely amazing to be sitting there watching a symphony perform songs that you've only heard via your CD player or your MP3 player. And I just think it's such a great opportunity for so many of us to expose our kids to this. Like, this is music that is actually coming from people who are really performing it. And I remember being amazed at that, by that as a kid, because my parents did take us to things like this. But I think it's a great opportunity for this to be included in the cost of admission to Hollywood Studios this summer, to see an orchestra. I mean, just do this. So anyways, you know, It will be the chance to prove to your children that all music is not computer driven. Not that that's better or worse, but it's actually performed by real folks, and they'll be sitting right there so you can see it. It will be hard for your kids to ignore that. So anyways, I just wanted to put that out there for everyone who will be in Walt Disney World this summer to make sure that you go see this. And with the dinner packages, there's no reason not to have a good seat. So.
Should I go kind of peel the curtain back and say that we are an auto-tuned podcast? That's how we sound so good each week.
Please don't. The only time
we're actually
on is when you see us on the ship. Yeah, only the people on the ship get to see a live performance.
They're like, man, they really sound off. They just don't sound like they do on the feed. It's weird. It's so weird. Yeah, whatever.
We have to try to pretend like that's what we are. So anyways, but it was good. And that was my little like encouraging of folks to go because it is a huge benefit. So yeah.
I agree. I mean, I think that's going to be the thing that it's one of those things at Walt Disney World where you don't go for this experience at the studios with the live music from the Pixar films. But I think everybody that experiences it are going to kind of evangelize for it upon returning home. That's what I'm predicting.
You didn't go for that, but once you see it, you would have thought, well, geez, I should have gone for that. So anyways.
No, I got to ban somebody from the chat room. Somebody's talking about the Cubs. See you, Drew. Just kidding. All right. Real quick, before we get to the first question, I do want to remind you, we've got a lot of folks who have signed up for the Ship to Shore BOGP Cruise double 5K. We're doing two 5Ks. Remember, if you're running on the ship with us and Castaway Key, we're going to do a 5K on deck 4, and we're also going to do a 5K at Castaway Key. It's only $5, but drop by the website and sign up. You got to do this by June 1st. All money goes to Give Kids the World. You're going to get that awesome medal sponsored by the Magic for Less Travel. It is beautiful. It's got Miley and Steady Miles on it. It's just amazing. Thanks to Jen Stead for the awesome artwork. But get your virtual race registration in by June 1st if you're sailing with us. So you have a few weeks left. And if you're not sailing with us, no big deal. You have until August 31st. Run, walk, whatever you want to do, two 5Ks around your neighborhood, maybe some of the races you're doing in your community, and you will also get this awesome, awesome medal. And if you're not sailing with us, you have until July 15th to register, and it's $25 per participant for the folks that are doing the virtual. Kids racers are only $5, 12 and under. So that is a bargain to get the whole family in on this virtual race. If you're international, it's just $30 a participant, and you will get that awesome medal as well. So drop by the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. The post is pinned to the top of the page, and you will be set to get in on the virtual races. And I'm really excited for this because all the money goes to Give Kids the World. And it's a great way for everybody to get in on some exercise and have something tangible at the end. Not only to kind of show that you got out there and, you know, took on a challenge of two 5Ks within a certain period of time, but also it's a great thing because when people see your medal, you can tell them about Give Kids the World, about our awesome running community and what we're all about. So Ricky, you know, I know that you'll jump in on this. You're going to do this on the cruise with us. And it's an opportunity not only for the cruisers.
Let's go with that.
You have to. Yeah. Come on. You can walk
two 5Ks. We're going to run through the jungle again.
We're going to run through the jungle. That's right. So, no, but it's a good idea. And I appreciate everybody's putting this together. You know, I hope we get lots and lots of participation with this.
I'm sure we will.
Absolutely. Such a great idea. I love that we started doing this. It's so great to see the community come together. And that's, you know, the best part about the whole thing, you know. The community coming together to do something great for Give Kids the World. And that's the whole point of, you know, the live show that we do, the 12-hour live show. And, oh, God, panic just hit me because I realized that we have to start planning that soon. Oh my gosh, panic just hit. So, you know, we've got that coming up. And, you know, that's why we do it. You know, Give Kids the World is the reason. So, I'm so happy to help them in yet another way. And it's so great to get to be able to do that. So yes, I'll run through the jungle, I guess. It'll be much easier to do on the ship because, you know, there's a breeze.
I
so
love
that's
deck
a lot
four.
Better.
Deck 4 is my favorite place in the world to run because, I mean, you're like steps away from just food everywhere. And plus it's flat as a pancake. It's a ship. I mean, you got the best views in the world.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. I can handle that. Oh, that's okay.
Deck 4 is awesome. You're in the shade. All right, anyway, so let's get to the questions. And Mark, actually, in our Facebook Live, was asking real quick. We're just going to drop this in. He wanted to know if we think that Happily Ever After will feature any kind of drone technology because of holiday, you know, the holiday spectacular they had at Disney Springs. Now, that's coming out, of course. Man, I guess this is the last week for wishes, so it's right around the corner now. I would say no on the drones because, again, they can't fly them over people. Ricky, have you heard anything about any kind of drone technology? Maybe they could fly them somewhere where they're not over the guests. Anything that you can speculate on?
So I've been avoiding a lot of the major spoilers about this and Pandora. So, like, I'm not as up to date as, you know, most people would think I would be right now. But I would think that the answer to this would be no. Just like you said, Mike, they can't, the drone technology does not allow them to fly them over people. And that's kind of why they're having trouble with the rumored show that's supposed to take place for Epcot. You know, that was supposed to probably include drones in it. And, you know, they can't fly them over the people to get them in place for where they would need to go. So they'd have to figure out something else. And I'm sure they're Disney. They're smart. They can figure out something if that's really what the route that they wanted to go. So with that being said, I don't think that this show will use a lot of drone technology. I think it will use a lot of projection mapping technology. You know, Disney has been so great about that technology and advancing it. And so I definitely think that we're going to see a lot heavy use of the projection mapping.
I give him permission to fly the drones right over the top of my head, as long as Adam's one of the pilots. That dude's got some skills with his drone. So. All right, first question. Actually, it's a comment for today. Now, this is awesome. It gets back to last week's show. Remember, we had that big hanging question about the idiot middle school kid that was riding behind folks on Expedition Everest. Here's what she says. We have Patricia says, "Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I work for Kodak Alaris in Rochester, New York. We provide the photo solutions at Walt Disney World and other vacation destinations around the world, making the souvenir photos like the one Jennifer talked about in episode 1166. Her family was photobombed on Expedition Everest by the writer sitting behind them. Editing photos to make sure they're ready to hang on the wall involves a certain degree of Disney magic, but also the touch of a staff member who is reviewing each image. As the technology continues to progress, one could imagine a point where this would be automated. But for now, it takes a little more than just pixie dust for guests to get those great Kodak moments. Thanks for all you do with the podcast. We recently took a trip to the world in March. It was our third trip, but much has changed in the last 5 years since our visit. And I found you guys, and I'd like to share it on the podcast, and your show has been a really big help. We had a great trip, and I've been listening to the podcast since to fill the gap until we start planning our next trip. Patricia." So, Pam, there's her answer. It's actually a cast member or somebody reviewing the photos. Can you imagine that? I guess if you did it in small bursts, like maybe have a shift for an hour or something, that would be doable.
It seems like a lot of rote tasks, and this is something that maybe not a lot of people know about me, but I am very good at rote tasks. In fact, I excel at them. I like very much to figure out a way to do even the smallest thing faster and better. If I were on an assembly line somewhere, I'd be kicking butt. I'm just saying. So this might be the job for me when I retire. I'm just saying. I may enjoy this.
You know what, though? I mean, just think about it. I'd have to have a blog, like what I saw on the picturestoday.com or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure, sure. I bet they can't take their phone in because that's what I'd be doing. I'd be like, oh,
and that's how Mike got fired.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But what? I mean, you have to see some crazy stuff. Speaking of, somebody posted an awesome picture on the Lizards group riding, I can't remember who it was because I saw it this afternoon, but riding Splash Mountain all by themselves. And she put, you know, what happens when you're late for a lizard meetup? She was all by herself on the log. Perfect picture. It was like that angry girl that was on Splash Mountain. Remember that one from about 6 months ago? Or
yes,
unimpressed girl, whatever it was. Anyway, it was awesome. All right, Robbie's got the next question. "Hello, BOGP crew. My wife and I are attempting to surprise our kids with a Disney World trip in September of this year. This will be our third trip as a family, so pulling off a surprise will be difficult, but we're up to the challenge. We are going to tell them a little white lie that they are joining me on a business trip, which will require us taking a long road trip. We'll be leaving Maryland in the evening, driving through the night, and arriving at Pop Century in the morning. We're hoping they sleep through the night and wake up around the time we arrive. We don't know if we can pull this off, but we're going to give it our best shot. We need some help with the surprise the first day there, so we're coming to the experts. We have three questions. Number one, Mike, as a former driver to the world, how far can you get before it is blatantly obvious that we're going to Disney World? We'd love for them not to realize it until we're driving under the Welcome to Disney World sign, but we're concerned the signage would make it obvious before that." Okay, so let's stop there and let me see if I can give you some advice there, Robbie, on this one. So it really depends how old your kids are, first of all, you know, with their awareness of you know, the where they are. You know, I think when you if you stop and have orange juice at the Florida Welcome Center, that could be a big tip off. But I think when you're selling this white lie, let's make it a little bit, I don't know, whatever the color is kind of worse, like maybe a beige lie. Let's make it a little bigger and say that the conference is maybe in Ocala, you know, something where the signs are pointing towards that destination, even Miami or something where you're going to hit Orlando before you hit that destination. Ocala would probably be bad because like, you go past it and they know something's up. So that way you can sell even Florida. You can keep the magic going in Florida until you hop off of, you know, whatever it is, the Florida Turnpike and head into Walt Disney World. I think that would work. But again, you got to sell it in a way, because once you get into the Central Florida, the cool thing for me every time I drove was seeing the road signs. Like here you see them for, you know, Pilot, and you see them for Steak and Shake and Wendy's. Down there you see them for like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Test Track, you know. So I think that's something you got to think about. So number two, we'll be arriving prior to our check-in time and want to have a special first breakfast. What would you recommend as a great quick service breakfast outside of the parks? All right, Ricky, so they want to kick it off right away. Quick service breakfast right off the bat. Where are you going? It's outside of the parks, not in a park.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good thing they said quick service, because if they would have said table service, I would have said not Kona anymore. So I'm going to go. Actually, I was thinking about maybe Captain Cook's, because you can get Tonga Toast there. So
what, that's where I've been busy doing like my very last set of report cards over the last few days. What, no more Tonga Toast at Kona? Is that what I'm hearing?
Tonga Toast is still there. The Samoan is not, and something else too, supposedly.
Yeah, but they did add some other things that are very Hawaiian.
They did. I think they added the Loco Moco, which but I swear if they get rid of the pineapple pancakes with the macadamia stuff, I will riot. That is my favorite thing ever since I came back from Hawaii. I love pineapple pancakes with macadamia nuts.
All right. So well, Ricky, come up here. I'll make them for you.
Somewhere. Okay, that works.
Well, so do they still have the big kahuna? Because that's my go-to there, man. That is everything.
I think that's the only thing they got rid of.
No, it isn't. They did not get rid of that.
Yeah, I swear to God. I swear.
They did get rid of that, and they got rid of the egg thing that I like, too. They changed it.
Wait, what? No, wait. Hang on now. This isn't right. Now, it's okay if you get rid of Tonga Toast, because I don't like bananas. I'm allergic to them. What?
It's totally right. They got rid of a bunch of stuff.
Got rid of the mixture, the big plate that was a mixture of all those different things, and they got rid of the egg thing that I like, the Samoan. So
something's wrong with you, Disney. What about the big kahuna? I love the big kahuna. Oh,
they do have a big plate though that has a bunch of different things on it, so you'll be okay.
Oh, Disney, you're hurting
me. But I will riot. I will riot if they get rid of my pineapple and macadamia nut pancakes.
I just want to turn this podcast off. That's it. I'm done with this podcast. They're giving bad news. Wait, we're doing the podcast.
Okay. I will riot.
All right, let's go to the third question. We will be on the Disney dining plan, but not sure when we can start using our credits. If we do the online check-in prior to our arrival, would we be able to use the dining plan for a breakfast on our arrival date, even though we'd arrive prior to the 3 p.m. check-in? As always, thanks for all your advice, Robbie. All right, Pam, how's it work? You're on the Disney dining plan online check-in, but you haven't physically checked in or gotten into your room. I guess that's what they're saying, by 3 o'clock.
You're fine. And here's why. You can use your dining plan credits any day, the day that you check in through midnight of the day that you check out. And you can use them how you want them. If you want to use all your table service the first day you're there, by all means, you can do that. Or if you want to spread them out throughout your trip, you can do that. The thing I will suggest for those with the dining plan in particular is not only do you want to go ahead and do online check-in, but at least stop at the resort to make sure that everything is showing correctly on your Magic Band. I actually physically give my Magic Band to the cast member checking me in, or I tap it myself and I say, can you see my dining credits there? Can you see my tickets or whatnot? You know, things like that. I just like that reassurance. And if there aren't typically issues, but if there are, the cast member then would be able to identify it there instead of it being identified in the park and they're telling you that you'll need to fix it at your resort later. And I think by just taking the few extra moments it does to actually check in and talk with a cast member at that point, you will save yourselves the potential of a big headache. So
that's great advice. But now the Facebook live chat is just bringing me down. Like I'm about to just lose it here. So this is one I never even had a chance to get. I stood in line twice to get this. The mac and cheese pot roast thing at the Friar's Nook is gone too. Angela says that's gone. Well, Disney, uh-oh, you're killing me. Like I stood in line twice for that. The line didn't move. I gave up on it. Teresa Sheingold always has this. Always posts pictures of it on Facebook. It looks awesome. I never got it and it's gone. Now, the next thing you tell me, Wishes is going away. Come on now.
No.
Whatever.
Mike, I have something to tell you.
I'm done. Yeah. I'm about to throw this phone. There's going to be no Facebook Live. I can't believe this. We're always so positive. But I mean, okay, there better be chicken and waffles somewhere. I mean, don't even tell me that. I mean, like the fajitas.
There, you're okay. Okay. I think you're fine. Yeah.
Chicken and waffles, many, many places.
Good. I can't believe that. I never had my pot roast mac and cheese. I stood in line twice, and both times the line never moved for like 15 minutes. And I just gave up because I was going to die of hunger. You know, I had to go over to Cosmic.
I wonder if that was the issue.
It could have been. How hard is it? You put some mac and cheese in a bowl. Smack a little pot roast on top. Anyway, Kate's got the next question. Hi, Mike and Pam and Ricky. I started listening to your podcast a little over a year ago as I prepared for my February 2016 trip. I would love to share that trip with you sometime as it was truly amazing. Your podcast was the only thing that kept me out of depression after my return. Today, however, I'm writing to ask about our next trip. We are traveling the week of Labor Day 2017, arriving Sunday, September 3rd, and departing Saturday, September 9th. We're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, Kidani Village on DVC Points. We only recently purchased. Our travel group consists of myself, my husband, my son, who's 3.5, and my daughter, who's almost 2, and our best friends, husband, wife, and their 2 daughters, who are the same age as our kids. We're staying in a 2-bedroom villa. I made the reservation since I own the points, and I have 2 questions. I've linked the My Disney Experience accounts for all the adults, but since I'm the one who made the reservation, am I the only one who can control the children's fast passes and dining reservations? Currently, next to each child's name in My Disney Experience, it says plans managed by me. I have selected each of the adults under the Who Can Plan for the Child section, but it says these people will only be able to view the child's plan. Since all of the adult accounts are linked, will they be able to manage the kids' plans or will they only be able to view them? I imagine that our families will split up at times, and I want to make sure that each adult has the ability to make arrangements for the kiddos. All right, she has one more question about Memory Maker. Ricky, or Pam, because you probably see this more. The thing is, we have so many friends and family on My Disney Experience. Ours just gets crazy. I mean, I probably have 30 or 40 friends on there. But what do you know about this? Because I have kids. Well, I guess Paige is kind of, she's not a kid anymore in Disney's eyes. But I don't even know what I do with Mallory's. I mean, I always make stuff for her. I never think about, you know, if I'm managing or viewing. I mean, because I've created her account. So what advice can you give Kate on this?
Well, so because you created and manage her account, that I'm not able to make fast passes that include Mallory.
That's true. That's right.
I'm able to make fast passes that include you and Pam and Paige, but I believe what would need to happen is that Mallory would have to have her own account that she controls, and then she would need to be friends with me before I could manage fast passes and make fast passes for her. I can make fast passes for you all day long, Mike, but yeah, I can't do it for Mal.
No, so. I think that's actually right, because Paige is, she has her own account and it's linked, so that's why it works for her but not Mallory, because Mallory's is just created by me. Okay, yeah,
right. It's created and managed by you. So that's why. If someone else manages your account, then the only way that they're going to be able to make, only that one person that manages their account will be able to make the all of those, not dining necessarily, but fast pass.
All right, clear as mud. Good deal. All right, number two.
Nicole says in there that they had that issue with their kids, between her and her hubby, and they had to call and they had it fixed.
I think they may do it for another parent. I can't imagine they do it for other friends.
That's true.
I don't know.
parent.
There's, I hope yeah. that there's some kind of privacy thing going on there, exactly. but I don't even know. So yeah, I won't say that. But yeah, I think they would do it for a parent, but not sure if they would do it for someone else. So yeah. and I
if
don't
you,
know.
You know, if you just Google the My Disney Experience help desk phone number, they are awesome there. And they'll set are. You up in the best situation you're allowed to be in. And they'll take care of it right there on your phone. I mean, there's been times where I've had some issues with like getting something linked up exactly right because a reservation will say Michael and, you know, my name is Mike on my account, you know, something like that. That's really trivial. Me too. Every time, or Pamela and Pam, you know, same thing.
Yes.
So, you know, that happens. I give them a call.
Thank goodness I don't have a nickname.
Well, you know, and you wouldn't think it would get them, but I mean, I understand, I guess things have to match up for a computer. But the thing is that they're awesome at that phone number because I've had times where I'm calling them the night before my fast passes go live because I'll say, I'm just making sure everything's ready. I just want to double check before I start freaking out in the morning and I can't make fast passes because I'm going after Frozen Ever After or something important, you know, so if I'm going after Pandora now, what I would say is, you know, I'm looking for this and there's been times where I've called and I've, you know, the fast pass window's open and they're like, well, what fast passes are you looking for? And they've actually scheduled them for me right there while I'm on the phone, you know, when I was eligible. Wow. So, and I've heard a lot of guests have that happen. So they are awesome there, Pam. You can echo that, right? I mean, you're kind of nodding along 100%. There because they're great. I mean, don't hesitate to call.
Absolutely. I've had major issues for a while. Sometimes I had issues with, for some reason, there being a double account or whatnot with my profile at one point. And they were able to fix it, walk through the process. I mean, you know, it's a challenge at some point. It's a lot of technology going on behind that. And sometimes things can be really screwed up. But they're able to fix it. So absolutely reach out to them. They're nice folks. They, you know, get to sit there and fix problems all day long. And I think for the most part, people walk away happy. So I don't think it's like your typical customer service job where people call and yell at you all day. At least I hope not. But anyways.
I think the great thing about their position is that they just have the access to be able to do stuff. You know, a lot of times I think the cast members on other lines want to fix problems, but their hands are tied because, you know, they only have so many permissions in their systems where it seems like with My Disney Experience, you call that help desk, they have pretty overarching rights to get things done. They're pretty quick on it. They don't have to go escalate it to five other people. They just fix it.
They're so empowered.
They are. It's great. It's like, thank you. Thank you. I got it done in 10 minutes. Anyway, second question for Kate. We'll definitely be purchasing Memory Maker. After the trip is over, how will our friends be able to download the pictures? In February, we traveled with my mom and brother. They could view all the pictures, but were not able to download them. Is there a way they can download them from their own account, or do they need to sign into my account? Thank you for your advice and the great podcast. Kate's up in Chicago, Illinois. All right, Ricky, so if they're friends and family, it shouldn't be a problem, right? I would think.
It's got to be the person that bought the Memory Maker. So that's the only person who can download it. Now, it works for us because we have annual passes. That's so that's it. Why I can download yours and you can download mine. But for someone who doesn't have an annual pass, it's only the person who has purchased Memory Maker can download the images. So you're either going to have to download them for them or you're going to have to share the password, I guess. So that's the only thing I can think of.
All right. Good deal. Sherry's got the next question. She says, hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I really enjoy your show. I've been listening for years. We've been to Disney World several times, but we've never done a split stay. We're arriving late Friday on August 11th and checking out on Friday, August 18th. Due to the Visa free dining promotion, we're staying at Pop Century on the 11th and 12th. We will be checking into Animal Kingdom Lodge on the 13th. Ooh, that's the day free dining started. For Visa. We are super excited. We've never stayed at either of these resorts. Due to the package requirements for free dining, we purchased our 6-day park hopper passes with the Animal Kingdom Lodge reservation. Number one, will we be able to activate our magic bands / tickets when we check into Pop? And two, will we be allowed to start making fast pass reservations using the August 11th date? Do we leave our luggage at Pop and does Disney bring it over to Animal Kingdom Lodge? I don't want to go there and not be able to go to the parks on Saturday. Do we have to purchase tickets separately? Sorry for all the questions, but I know you guys would have the answers. Keep up the great podcast. Thanks, Sherry. All right, so split stay, a couple nights at Pop Century before the main package that is on the Disney free dining offer starting on the 13th. So, Pam, let's go one by one here, and then we'll kind of bounce over to Ricky, too.
Please help me out.
Okay,
so
are they basically what she wants to do? She's got a package at Animal Kingdom Lodge starting on the 13th with 6-day tickets. but they're going to be there on the 11th and 12th at Pop Century. Can she have access to those tickets on the 11th and 12th is what I believe she's asking. You know, when she, the packages are not on the Pop Stay. I'm guessing that's a room only, the way it's sounding. So will she be able to use those early?
Will she be able to use them, like, to get into the parks? Yes.
Okay.
Will she be able to use her Pop Century check-in date to make fast passes for her whole stay? And that is no. She'll be able to use her Pop Century reservation to make her fast pass reservations for the Pop Century dates, but she'll have to wait for her to be 60 days from her Animal Kingdom Lodge check-in date to go ahead and make the Fast Pass Plus arrangements for that. Does that make sense?
It does, because the Pop Century reservation will not have tickets associated with it. So that's exactly why. Even though you will have them once you arrive and tell them what you're doing, according to the system, it's looking at it as you got to have a room reservation with tickets attached to cover those days, and you won't have them at that time. So It's not big. It's a couple days. You know, you'll be fine. And just, you know, see the classic stuff the first 2 days and, you know, save it. You know, if you want to see Pandora or whatever you want to see, you know, have it on the 13th. And what about luggage, Pam? Because you do this all the time. Just pretty easy peasy to get from one to the other, from Pop to Animal Kingdom Lodge?
Yeah, Disney's going to transfer her luggage for her.
Yep. Well, that's what she's asking. Like, how does it work? Okay. She wants to get her luggage over to Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Okay. So what you'll do is you'll contact Bell Services at Pop Century. Let them know you're going to transfer over to Animal Kingdom Lodge. Make sure you pack a day bag that is going to be with you that includes everything important. When I say everything, I mean everything important in terms of medication. If you're taking very, very pricey jewelry to Walt Disney World, I'm not sure why you're doing that, but if you are, maybe you're going to Victoria and Albert's or something, take that on your person. I know I would rather get it over there myself than rely on bus services. If you want to be back at the resort enjoying the pool at any time, make arrangements to somehow keep your bathing suits out and things like that. The reason why I'm saying this is it does take some time to get luggage transferred from one resort to the other. It's not an instantaneous thing. And I've heard of it taking extended periods of time. I've also heard of it showing up very soon. I just want to give you the worst case scenario so you are prepared regardless of that. So that's the way to go.
Yep. The day bag's the way to go. You know, if there's something that's important, even if something you might need that day, keep it on you, because otherwise you could be waiting until 10, 11 o'clock that night. Not typically, yep, but it can. It's happened to me once.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. Diane.
It only takes one bad time.
It's like when you're on a cruise and like everybody else's luggage is outside their door and like you're missing a suitcase and you're just chugging away from Florida full speed. You're like, oh man, all
and
my stuff's in there.
Wearing all day. So I have no pants to wear to dinner.
Exactly. Hey, that happened to me at Palo one time. I had to borrow some. Anyway. All right. Diane's got the next question. Hi, Mike and the gang. First, I want to thank you all for such a fantastic podcast. You guys keep me going all week. My dad and I just booked a father-daughter trip to the world for July 10th through the 13th to see all the new things starting this summer. My husband is not quite as big of a Disney fan as I am, so I'm leaving him home and taking my dad, who loves Disney World just as much as I do. My questions are, number one, do you have any advice on FastPass Plus strategy for attempting to see both new attractions in Pandora? We're preparing ourselves for crazy crowds, so we want to have a plan. Which attraction do you think may be more worth the FastPass out of the two? Since this is such a quick trip, we did splurge on the park hopper in hopes of hitting Animal Kingdom twice during the trip. All right, she has one more question, but Ricky, let me give you this one. This is a great, great question for right now, because I was in this same predicament earlier or late last week when I was making my fast passes for Pandora. You know, I'm like, do I want to ride a boat? Do I want to ride a Banshee? Which one's more important? Which one am I going for? Which one's going to have the longer line? Initially, I went for the Banshee ride because I'm picturing a boat is more of like an omni mover. You know, I'm just trying to reason this out. Of course, I'm trying to stay away from the spoilers just like you. If I see somebody posting about Pandora, I totally skip it because I'm so close now. I don't want to.
Absolutely.
I don't want it ruined. But
that's exactly what I've been doing. I'm totally skipping it. Like, I've read nothing as much as I can. So.
And you're close. I mean, so, you know, I know you won't spoil me when you go down, but you'll give me some advice. But, you know, from what we know right now, trying to remain unspoiled, Is that a good strategy, going for the flights of passage over the boat? I'm just trying to think of like what I know now as far as like ride mechanics.
Yeah. No, I absolutely understand. I'm 100% with you right now, because that's kind of where I am too. Like, I feel like the Banshee ride will probably have just a little bit less. I feel like it would have just a little bit less of a ride through, of a throughput. Also, one thing to keep in mind, I have been reading that, just slightly reading, that the contraption to get you into the Banshee can be a little, is a little odd. Again, I'm not 100% sure, because obviously I've been avoiding most spoilers, so I've only read it kind of in passing. So just know that. I know that some people who have, like, I think, longer bodies or are a little bit larger are having some troubles with this. But I have heard that they're going to have a test seat outside. Doesn't help you if you're trying to plan your fast passes, of course. But I just kind of wanted to put the warning out there just in case, you know. Also, from the brief things I've seen that the boats don't actually hold that many people. So it's like, it's kind of like a one family per boat thing, as opposed to, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, where there are multiple families per boat. So, you know, I don't know, but the boats are smaller. So, you know, overall, so they can probably fit more boats through the whole process. And that's like a 4-minute ride. I'm not entirely sure at this point. It's really, it's hard to pinpoint which one's going to have the longer lines of the two, and how the wait times are going to end up shaking out. I think we'll find out a lot more as we get through these previews and we get closer to the actual opening. And I know that, you know, previews are going on right now. You've got cast member previews and you've got the annual pass holder previews that are coming up. So, you know, I know we're going to learn a lot more about this over the next, like, you know, week or two. So unfortunately, I think this question was asked like just a week or two or too early. But, you know, I think if it were me, I would go for the Banshee one too. And I would wait in line for the Fast Pass, and I'd wait in line for the River ride. But I have a feeling that's probably what a lot of people are going to be doing too. So, the other nice thing is if you are staying on property, they are doing extra magic hours for all guests staying on property from like 11 p.m. to like 1 a.m. or something like that. So, I mean, if you want to stay up late, you're guaranteed you'll probably get on at least one then too. So, and you're staying on property anyway. So,
well, that's true. And the other thing I wanted to mention, I heard about the Banshee ride, is that folks with motion sickness may really be impacted with this. This is my concern. I can do Soarin' fine. The last time I rode Star Tours.
Oh, I hope it's not like Star Tours, because that makes me sick. And I love Star Wars, but I can't do it.
I know, me too. Oh. I can't do Star Tours. So I'm actually going to send Steve and Hannah to do this and give me a report. I'm really afraid I'm not going to be able to ride it, because you do wear glasses. You do put on glasses. And this is what scares me about the whole thing, because I'm like, oh, shoot. You're kidding me, because I've really been looking forward to this attraction. But you know what? I've come to peace with it. And the other thing I've really walked away with knowing is from what I'm hearing, the land is so beautiful. And there are just so many things to see that I am just going to be thrilled to be there. So even if I can't ride the Banshee attraction, which I want to so bad.
I say ride it once and just see what happens.
No, it's actually not something that I can fool with.
I have a bag for you. It's fine.
The safety of those around me.
Okay, that's maybe not then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And yeah, so you will not want me to
be the one around you. So yeah, let's not do that.
So, but I'm so looking forward to just seeing the attraction. I've heard again about the bioluminescence, right? We talked about that, but it sounds fantastic. And I'm telling you, this is going to be the place to be once it turns twilight at Animal Kingdom. I think people are just hanging out and soaking it up. And that's a cool thing.
Well, seeing a couple things with my fast pass strategy. See, I scheduled it before the cruise, because if there's any kind of, real tight squeeze, I might not make it after the cruise. 7 days on a Disney cruise on ship, I might not be able to ride that Banshee when I get home. Just saying. So I had to think about that. But you know what, though? I was thinking, it's only half true, kind of half joking. The other thing I was thinking was, we did ours in the morning. Like, I made it so they're like, it, you know, my Pandora one for the Banshee was like at 10. And then the boat one on a different day was like at 11 or so. Did I miss out? Should the boat be only at night? Because I think maybe I wasn't thinking. Bioluminescent thing is the whole
indoors.
It's all indoors, everything? I thought it was like half and half. I'm trying to avoid it all. No, I don't want to know.
It's all indoors.
Okay.
And I think it mimics the nighttime anyway. So, I mean, it's like you're seeing it at night.
Yep.
Yeah, but the land is going to be you want to be in the land at night.
Oh,
though,
yeah.
Right? I mean, it's going to be more spectacular at night.
You are going to want to go back to the land.
Especially because you're an on-site guest.
Oh, well. All right, let's get to
But you know what? The lines will be shorter because it'll be on-site. Yes. So you'll be able to ride it at some point on-site without the fast pass.
Yeah.
So no.
Okay.
I think
we're good.
You made the gavels come down. I think you made the right decision.
It'll be fine. And have you seen those glasses? Unless somebody was trolling me on Twitter, I just scrolling through. Somebody had on some glasses. Man, those things were huge. They weren't just like 3D glasses like you wear at the movie theaters. They were gigantic glasses.
Yeah, they were
six bucks.
I think they
are
gigantic glasses. Yeah.
Unless that was like somebody totally trolling me because I'm trying not to look, but I'm like, what's the story with those glasses? Ah, they're for the Banshee thing. Keep going.
No,
so I was like, those things are hideous. I'm going back and looking again. I know. It's so hard this week. Like, I know everybody wants to provide coverage of it, but like, I know I should want to know, but like, I love the discovery of the new stuff, and I want to see it through my own eyes. I don't want to see it through a lens. Anyway,
I'll try not to spoil it for you, because
that'll be fine.
I'm going down for the AP preview. So
good call.
Just so you know.
All right, second question for Diane. She says, since this was a last minute trip for us anyway, we're trying our best to curb our usual desire to plan out every minute of the vacation. Aside from our Animal Kingdom Pandora time, we are trying to stay somewhat spontaneous with dining plans. We are more adventurous eaters and like to try all different types of cuisine. We're totally open to traveling to the resorts to eat. Can you suggest some restaurants that are usually not completely booked up, where we may be able to get same-day reservations for two people on a whim? Thanks so much. Diane's in Nutley, New Jersey. And apparently, Diane, you can go to Kona for breakfast because everybody's fired up and not going there. So, no, just kidding. I am. No, so, you know what? I think you can find a lot of, again, you know, think resorts. She's on the right track with the resorts. I'd say places like Boat Rites, Olivia's. I'm trying to think. The Wave at the Contemporary. Help me out, Pam. Where else? Go give us some more.
I think a lot of the signature restaurants actually do get reservations and have reservations many times up until the day, because we do that a lot. Now, I will also say, and I mentioned this a few times, the lounges at places, like a Territory Lounge, which is connected to Artist Point. You can order off the menu from Artist Point, and they also have other great things. So you can try that. There's also Cruise Cup, which is attached to Yachtsman. Again, has some great options. You can't make reservations there, has some good food there. So think about out-of-the-box stuff, too, and if they have bar seating. Citrico's has a bar there as well, kind of a bar loungy area, so you can go up there for that. But all of those locations are going to have seating many times very last minute, so...
All right, Ricky, anything you can offer too? Because that's a great tip. I mean, because you can get really good food at the lounges. That's one of your hacks.
Absolutely. I mean, you got the new Geyser Point too, which is so fabulous. So
yeah.
I would definitely suggest heading over there. You know, you're sitting under the pavilion and, you know, feeling the breeze from the water. I think that's a fantastic place to go. So that's my suggestion. Go to Geyser Point.
Yeah, how do we miss that?
Because you can do counter service or you can do a lounge service there. So you have the option of both.
And we totally missed that on last week's best place to go for counter service.
Shoot,
restaurants.
We did.
After
totally.
We posted it,
it's
like,
so
oh.
new that I forget about it. Yeah.
We totally dropped the ball on that one. All right, last question of the day. Let's get rolling here. Hey, Pam, Rip Rocket Ricky and friends, Mike always gets the shout out. This is Tony and Lindsay from the Lizards Group, and we have a dining plan question. I remember hanging out with Tony and Lindsay over at the Beach Club back in January. They're awesome. If we do the dining plan, we usually end up splitting some meals a lot because it's so much food. This gives us some extra table service credits towards the end of our vacations. We would like to use those towards some of the 2-credit meals around property. What are your top 3 2-credit meals at Walt Disney World, and what should we steer clear of? To give you reference, our 3 favorite 1-credit meals are Be Our Guest, Ohana, and Sanaa. We aren't huge seafood fans, if that helps. Thank you. See you all at Dopey in January, unless Rip Rocket Ricky's new Universal podcast takes off. They put in quotes. I like that little pun there, the kind of punny. All right, Tony and Lindsay. So you know what? I don't eat Signature because it's my family doesn't like it. My wife doesn't like real fancy food. My kids don't. I would do it, but that's why I go on cruises. That's when I get to eat fancy for the length of the cruise. That's like my signature dining splurge with Disney Cruise Line. Pam, so where would you go? He's looking for a top three signature dining locations. Let me just ask you, would Jico, because California Grill is going to be on your list, right? I'm trying to pick them. California Grill?
Yes, it will be.
Okay,
yeah.
Jico?
Because it's dinner and a show.
It is. Jico? Is Jico in your top three?
Yes, Jico is always solid. Such good food, such great cast member interaction. Yes, and it's unusual food. It's not fancy. I don't think many of their signature places are fancy. It's just unusual. So
Let's see if I can get your third one, because I picked your top two, and I know you pretty well. What about Artist Point? Is that your third?
I probably for them, I would say Artist Point, because Flying Fish is a good one for me. But they said
I knew that one.
Food. Yeah. But I will say now I'm going to give a little shout out to my Flying Fish because it continues to be one of my favorite locations. That it does have stuff for the non-seafood eater. It really does. It used to have. Well, it still does. It still has a really good steak. It still has some other things, but it is heavy on the seafood. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend that for you. Another one is if you really like steak, you've got to give Yachtsman a try. First of all, I could go to Yachtsman for their onion rolls, period. I mean, just the rolls and the butter with the sea salt on it and the roasted garlic. To me, seriously, that is so worth it. But in addition, they also have some good steaks. So just saying.
Sounds a little like Texas Roadhouse to me. You know, just kidding. We can eat there for $25 if we go before 6.
From that.
We're there with all the 80-year-olds. I have no shame. You know what? I get up at 5 in the morning. I'm ready to eat by 4. I'm hungry.
Mike's looking to get his AARP card early. So he can get the discounts.
I'm telling you, man, the Village is sending me information already. So they want me to move down into Florida and, you know, the biggest retirement community in the world. No, those are good tips. And Nicole in the Facebook live chat's throwing up Tiffin's too. Another, because if they're looking for something a little more exotic and kind of fun and kind of on the edge there of the new experiences, Tiffin's would be the place to go.
Leek ash, people.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. But that didn't sound right.
It was leeks that are cooked down so much that they're ash.
Okay. All right.
And it's on the side of the plate. It's really good. Just saying.
Huh. Interesting. All right. Well, on that, on the leek ash comment, we're going to call this one a show here and, you know, come back together on Friday. Hopefully you enjoyed the listener questions. Keep sending those in to Mike@BRGuestPodcast.com. And real quick for our St. Louis listeners, our listeners that are here in the St. Louis metro area, this Thursday, I'm going to be talking Disney at the Webster Groves Public Library down in South St. Louis County. It's from 7 to 9 p.m. We're going to be talking about planning the perfect Disney World vacation, Walt Disney World vacation. So come on down. We'd love to meet you, and we're going to have a good time just talking Disney, all the good stuff, Magic Bands, ADRs, Fast Passes. We're going to freak out all the people that think that you can just show up at the door and have a good time. There's going to be people walking out of here like, whoa, this ain't Six Flags. Exactly. That's why we do a podcast. So no, come on out. It'll be fun to see everybody that doesn't have a clue of what goes into these vacations, and I'd love to see you. So again, it's 7 to 9 on this Thursday night, May 11th, at the Webster Groves Public Library. Come on out, and I'd love to see you. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com. Ricky, make it a quick one. What are we reading about today on Theme Park News, Disney Edition?
For those who are fans of Guardians of the Galaxy, you can now meet Star-Lord and Baby Groot.
I know. Why could Baby Groot be any cuter? I'm just saying. And maybe Star-Lord too, I'm just saying.
Well, I don't know. The ones that are Disney's Hollywood Studios, maybe not. The ones in the movie, maybe.
They're both very cute.
I think that's tomato. For those who are looking for Star-Lord and Baby Groot, you can meet him at Disney's Hollywood Studios at One Man's Dream. There is a meet and greet area in the back that they just built Moana was previously there. She is no longer there. So for those of you looking for Moana, you cannot find her at the parks currently. I am sorry to tell you. That may change. I've heard rumors, but who knows what's actually happening in real life. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind. But right now you can meet Baby Groot and Star-Lord.
All right. So get all this news. It's a free iOS app. It's absolutely free, and it's better than reading the cereal box every morning as you're getting ready to go to school or work. So check it out. Get these and other awesome Disney apps for your iOS device over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, Mother's Day is this Sunday, people. This Sunday, mom needs a good gift. And when you're doing that online shopping, use our link over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Support mom. Support the show. Everybody wins. Keeps you out of the doghouse. Everybody's happy. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And sign up for those virtual races. Again, at the top of the show, we told you where to go. Facebook.com/brguestpodcast. Let's get hundreds of registrations this week. Let's do it. Let's support the families down at Give Kids the World. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Be Our Guest Mike. And again, great Facebook group at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, time to get out of here, and we'll be back again on Friday. We're wrapping up the trifecta. We talked the best use of your credits for table service restaurants, counter service restaurants. Now we got to spend those snack credits, and that's what we're going to do on Friday. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.